You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in. Welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, which includes obviously the state of my office. But welcome back. Today, you're going to meet one of my new friends, fast friends, and frankly, somebody that I wish I'd known in real estate longer, Danny Burgess. Danny is a realtor from the Bay Area of California. He's a six-year veteran. By the way, his wife is 34 years old, and there's a reason that you want to know that Amanda is just 34 years old when you dial into this episode. Enjoy. I can't wait to hear what you think. As always, if you're enjoying the show, give a click, subscribe, share this with a friend, because this is just Lee Brown's passion project to bring y'all the interesting side of real estate. I'll see you on the other side. Do you ever have team members and employees who ask the same question over and over again? And you wish there was one centralized place to send them to find everything they knew to be productive and efficient? There is. Sweet Process is this really cool company. They reached out to me and said, "Hey, Lee Brown, we want to sponsor the podcast." And I said, "Well, then, hey, Sweet Process, let me see what you offer." And I freaking love it. Here's why. It's a software that enables your company to have a central place for procedures, policies, and processes, all the three P's, we'll just say that. And it becomes so easy for upper management, middle management, and then everybody in the organization to collaborate, because everybody's going to see these three P's differently: procedures, processes, and policies. You can also know that this allows you to keep your processes really living and fluid, because you can change them at any time. You can organize and reprioritize, assign tasks. It's so intuitive. So it's really great because you have to have easy. In today's world, we're all overwhelmed. Easy is fantastic. And it also becomes this source of truth, because doesn't matter what level somebody is in your organization or on your team, they can find all the information for how to do the job well. And what better way to reward a team member who wants to go up in the organization than by seeing how they take things and run with it? Sweet Process gives them things to take and run. And also, this makes your training super easy. In fact, I started my Sweet Process journey with onboarding for my team members, because I need to make people more successful more quickly. And I love it, because now anybody around me can get their task done quickly, and the instructions are right there. Now, you should know they always offer a 14-day free trial. So high five, Sweet Process. That's super cool. But because you're Lee Brown's people, what? You're going to get the 28-day free trial, which is great, because I know you'll sign up and totally forget because you're not organized yet. Then you'll use Sweet Process and you're going to love it too. So if you go to sweetprocess.com/crazyshitinrealestate to sign up now, you don't even need to give them a credit card. So go check out Sweet Process. Make your company stronger today. Really, we just have a conversation, because I don't ever prep my episodes. I don't want to know what story you might have to tell, because then I can't really act surprised. And I really enjoy being surprised. Like, you know, the sex episode. So you were surprised listening to it as I was recording, because I had to be chill on the video.
You didn't know that. Wow.
I looked up their website after, and it was pretty fascinating. But I mean, it's niche marketing. It's what real estate's all about. But, you know, since you are the Danny Burgess, and I'm figuring that's probably like the most dressed up you ever get in the Bay Area.
This is a standard fit for me. Standard attire. This is exactly what we do.
So I wonder about the flags on the wall. What are all the flags up there? Is that from a trip that you took, a hiking expedition? It looks like something from Kilimanjaro.
So I met my wife in high school, but at the time she wasn't my wife and she wasn't my girlfriend, and we had no intention. I actually told her, because I didn't like the guys who like preyed on the younger girls. I always thought that's,
How much younger is she?
She's 2 years.
Okay. So you say that like it was 20 years. That would have been crazy.
High school, it's weird when I see seniors going after like sophomores and freshmen. Like back then, I remember that. I was like, this is just weird.
It is so true. And the older we get, the smaller the gap gets.
Well, anyways, I told her back in high school, you're going to be gorgeous when you grow up. Whoever gets to marry you is going to be awesome. She wrote that in her journal, which we actually have to this day. Danny Burgess, you know, said that I was... And so anyways, I know. So long story short, years later, she and I hooked up on Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg said, hey, friends request Amanda. So I had friends request her. Long story short, we fell head over heels. She ended up signing a contract to go teach English in Bangkok, Thailand, before we fell over head over heels. So I sold everything I had. I was currently working at Costco baking chickens. I sold my car, sold absolutely everything I had. I bought a one-way ticket to Bangkok. And that was where we really fell in love with world travel, specifically Asia. And so we spent about 6 months together on that trip, living in a small village in Thailand while she was teaching. I was playing online poker. Then coming back, we realized we had this big void left in our life of we didn't get to travel enough. So from that moment, we saved 30 grand in the restaurant industry in 1 year, which is like unheard of. And we bought a one-way ticket to Hong Kong. And so then we left and we actually traveled the world on a shoestring budget for a year and a half, spanning about 20 countries, spending about a month in every country. We lived in Australia. We spent 6 weeks in New Zealand. That picture right there is us trekking the Himalayas. So that's the Annapurna Circuit trek and the most incredible adventure. This is actually Everest. This is something that a young man painted me in Nepal. This photo is massive. It's about it's longer than my arm's length, but he painted this and sold it to me for $85. And in short, that trek is what changed my life. So when we came back, I was a true real bum, you know, what most people would consider a bum, bartender, waiter, no real vision, no goals, staying up late. And that trip slapped me in the face and said, we are so lucky to have the opportunities that we have here. And what a POS I am if I don't take advantage of them and proceed with a legacy that I'd be proud of. So
y'all will never regret any of that trip ever.
No, it was life changing. I mean,
but I do have to ask though, because the listeners are going to want to know. So when you told her she'd be gorgeous when she grew up, did she actually wind up too good looking for you? And so we could just say that you've outkicked your coverage, Danny.
Absolutely too good looking for me. 100%. She grew up into a beautiful woman. She actually looks incredibly young still.
She doesn't need makeup.
Yeah, she's 34. She's absolutely stunning. She was 34. I got that part right. Anyways, yeah. So she actually now is back in the real estate business with us.
Oh. And
she's my right-hand gal. So
is she licensed or does she run the organizational side of things?
She was licensed. Absolutely loathed the position. That's how she ended up exiting the business. And then after we had our first son, we said, look, let's come back in the business. You love teaching because she's a teacher. Why aren't you like agent care type of a role, keeping the agents accountable, keeping them on track? And this is our third team iteration. We've only been up and running now for 4 months. So we're pumped about our direction.
So that's definitely kind of the crazy shit in real estate that the public doesn't always know about, that there's so many pathways that have nothing to do with day-to-day working with buyers, working with sellers, because on HGTV, of course, the only role somebody sees is either the property brothers doing demolition and charging a dollar for it, or they see an agent showing three houses in 30 minutes and making a pile of money. But your wife is over here showcasing that there's 1,000 pathways in real estate and she's trying as many of them as possible, which is a good thing.
Yeah, for me. For her.
For her, though, because learning is not a bad thing and figuring out where you belong is not a bad thing either.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you know something's not a fit, you can mark it off your list.
It's true. We're going to figure that out this year. I'll tell you that.
That's right. So you've been in real estate since you were an Uber driver, and I think you should totally tell that story because real estate is not just dressing up and driving around. Sometimes it's driving other people around until you can dress up and drive around.
Sure. So 6 years ago, seven years ago as of today.
You're terrible at anniversary math. So we should tell your bride it's not just her.
I don't track my years of anything. So I thought I was 36 this whole year. It turns out I was 35. It's crazy. So when I first got into the industry, my first year, I was a Lyft, Uber driver, waiter, and bartender. And it's a really tough year for me, but I still showed up more than anyone else at my office. I drove to work every day through San Francisco as a Lyft and Uber driver on my way to the real estate office. So I got in about 2 hours of driving in the morning, would show up to the office at about 7:45 a.m., practice my scripts and role play, got on the phones, And then the afternoons I would learn. I would go to every single class Keller Williams had to offer. In the evenings, I would lift again and drive to my bartending shift. So I'd lift for about 2 hours. Then I'd get to my bartending shift where I would spend 4 to 6 hours bartending and then rinse and repeat. And I did that for almost a year and a half until I finally broke through.
So what was that breakthrough point? Was it sheer exhaustion or was it just the whole, if I don't go ahead and jump in, I'm never going to sink or swim?
The breakthrough was honestly just, I was the guy who would do anything for my seller clients, anything. I mean, I would be in the dirt landscaping for them. I mean, you couldn't name a job because I have a background in it, right? I have a background in landscaping. I have a background in construction. I have a background in name it. And
did you Sherpa when you were over in the Himalayas?
I didn't Sherpa, but we did not use a Sherpa.
Okay, so you don't know how to do them. So I found the one thing.
Well, technically I was my own Sherpa, right? I didn't hire one.
You didn't outsource.
So it just took time for people to realize that I was doing more for my clients, mm-hmm. right? I was just doing more. And eventually that snowballs. So my first year I did 2 transactions. That was while I was working 6 hours in another job. And I don't really call that my first year. I call that kind of my learning year.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it really was my learning year. And this is what I tell new agents. I say, hey, if you don't have the runway financially, you gotta learn that first year and then work all your other jobs outside of that, right? And stay afloat. So I tell agents that a lot.
Say though, even if you have the financial runway, you should still use that first year to dial all in and learn. Let's don't give anybody an out.
No, you gotta learn. You gotta learn. My mentor was a real estate attorney, a 30-year realtor, real estate attorney, badass woman. And she was exactly what I needed. She cracked the whip on me. She said, you know, you better make sure you know these contracts inside and out. You better always do what's right for your client. It has nothing to do with our paychecks. And that's how I live my business now. I feel like if she looked at me, she would be so proud because I'm a mirror image of what she was, just a little bit crazier. A little bit more of an adventure dude. But so the second year we banged out 12 deals, but in our market, that's a lot of volume. So I think we did, I don't know, something about 13 million in that first full year of full time.
Which, let me pause you there, because for our consumers listening who just kind of enjoy the backstage of real estate, it's one of the things that drives me nuts and drives a lot of realtors nuts. We talk about the volume. So when Danny mentions 13 million, he didn't put $13 million bills in his pocket because then he could never have sat down again and he'd have to go to the chiropractor. But 13 million is the total sales volume of the properties that were sold. And it's a really big misnomer in the ranking system of real estate, because what you take home is not related to what you've sold. Although the more you've sold, it should be higher what you take home, but that's not even guaranteed in today's market. Yeah. So just know that it's a sign that he was completing transactions and getting the job done, but it's not how much money goes home. And we have to actually reshape this whole conversation out there, because realtors have done a terrible job of explaining how everything works, because we do get that shiny object syndrome. And well, Danny and I, we met on Clubhouse. And so we love sharing information and making other people better. But you can see very quickly that for some agents, they define their value by the dollar volume of what they have sold instead of by the experience that they have delivered.
And
so
I think,
just so you know, he's showing his expertise, but we wanted you to know what the dollars mean.
But I also would absolutely triple down on that and just say, who cares what that number is? Who cares what the volume is? Honestly, who even cares what the GCI is, right?
Gross commission income for non-realtors.
Yeah, gross commission.
We have a lot of non-realtors that stare at the podcast.
Sorry, my bad. So gross commission income is what the gross amount is, which could be broken down to before paying your brokerage, before paying your expenses, before paying any other splits like referral fees to other agents, or maybe you're in a partnership of some sort.
Uncle Sam is not just a duck. He really expects his dollars.
Yeah. And then the biggest thing, if you want to really learn how to mess up, is ask me about my tax situation over the first few years in real estate, because you forget to save for that too. Coming from my industry, I didn't have that mindset. So it was an incredible first few years.
So in that incredible first few years,
You know the whole premise of the show, right? We want to know something you saw that you still can't believe, that when you go back to the bar to say hey to your buddies who are still working there, you're like, never, ever going to believe what I saw today. So give me a Basil Hayden straight up, and I'll tell you about it. And so what's the thing that you've seen in real estate that just knocked you on your heels?
I'm not the most handsome guy in the room, but...
We'll call you average. You're average plus.
Average plus. But average plus get lucky every now and again, right? Okay. So I get called in for this listing. This was in my second year in real estate. I get called in for this listing consultation. It was a woman in her 40s, maybe late 40s.
Cooper.
Late 40s, maybe even early 50s. I'm not sure. Correct. And so we're doing the walkthrough of her home, and like everything is like, she's putting, you know, when we talk scripts, we talk about tone and inflection. Everything was like, hey, you know, what do you think of my kitchen? You know, why don't we come see the bedroom? Right. These types of like, you could just feel that there was more to this listing consultation than a listing consultation. In short, it got really intense pretty fast, where she was encroaching on my physical proximity, my bubble. But I'm very quick on my toes, used to older women hitting on me at the bar, right? So I knew what to do here. I said, you know what? Let's match some things up here. I said, you know, what's got going on socially here? Long story short, I ended up deflecting her into my father, who's also a single guy, about 55 years old at that time. So I said, you know, my dad's actually a contractor. This is true. He could totally come over here and show you how to fix up the house for the sale and be a great resource for you. And so in short, I deflected and pawned her off on my father. So
they go on a date. Did your dad come over and fix the crown molding?
I don't know if he ended up fixing the crown molding, but I know they absolutely had multiple conversations. She never ended up selling the house to this day. So I had a strange inclination that she never intended on selling the house. She just wanted Mr. Danny over there to give her a valuation.
So they had conversations. Did they go on a date? Are they like getting married? Is there more to the love story here? Does your dad not divulge? He doesn't.
Yeah, my dad doesn't divulge. My dad's a man of mystery, but yeah. He's, I don't know. He is who he is. So yeah, I don't know what ended up happening, but that was pretty crazy.
That's so cute though. I mean, there's a lot of real estate matchmaking that happens out there. A lot of realtors meet their spouse, although usually it's because they work in the business, not because they were getting hit on at a listing, but that's so damn cute. You hooked your dad up.
I'm a wingman.
For your dad.
I'm a wingman. Yeah, I'm not sure my mom's going to feel about that, but.
You know, I'm sure that she's thinking if the check's clear and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Well,
contractor's wife has seen bad checks in her life.
I don't know what other crazy stories are, but that was the one that popped in my head this morning that I wanted to share. It was pretty
funny. Then let's change gears real quickly, because when you're in real estate, you hit the 6-year mark, you've gotten past that initial hubris of I've sold a few houses, I know everything. What's the one thing you wish the public knew that you now know? Whether when they're buying or selling that you feel like they are clueless about when it comes to real estate?
I would say the number one most important thing is there are so many realtors out there, and the public perception is that we're all the same. And it is the farthest. Do you say farthest or furthest with your
farthest
accent?
But you can say furthest, furthest, farthest. You can really say whatever you want. I mean, this is a very fluid word.
Furthest from the truth. We are all separated by different talents, but more importantly, some of us go much further for you on the transaction. Right.
So I can't believe you brought this up, but I believe all things happen the way they're supposed to happen. I was on a call this morning with a real estate team outside of Nashville, Tennessee, and we were having a conversation about price inelasticity in real estate, which is how nerdy my world operates, full disclosure. But it is really frustrating that the end consumer, the buyer or the seller, does not have either the confidence or the education to ask the right questions to figure out that there are agents that have been an agent for 5 minutes that might be charging the same thing as somebody with thousands of transactions under their belt and a level of expertise and knowledge that just goes 12 miles deep.
Yeah.
Why does the consumer not differentiate? I think about it in terms of hairdressers. Yeah. I would never go to somebody who just got their license. They might be the next best star, but I'm going to go to the top of the line because of what I expect from a colorist in the way of technique and experience, because I know what I'm going to have to answer for if it's not done correctly. Why don't we have that in real estate, Danny? I mean, like, look at the Hilton. You have the tippy top Hilton hotels or the JW Marriott. Actually, Marriott's probably easier. JW Marriott's an entirely different experience than Fairfield Inn by Marriott, but they have answers all along the price spectrum and different levels of, as you mentioned, value add, different levels of comfort, expertise, and consumer delight. We don't see that much in real estate. It exists, but how does the consumer find it? This is my big I wonder thing.
Well, I think number one, human nature, we want to like people and trust people, right? So we're going to roll into a one-year realtor and just like them. And so if we have the preconceived notions that they're all the same and I like this young kid, I want to help him out, we're going to go with them, right?
We're just, and you and I are grateful for that because somebody had to help us out when we got 100%. Started.
Matt DiBenedetto, shout out to Matt DiBenedetto. My first transaction was a listing. We knocked it out of the park. But I think what it comes down to is more exposure from the agents like us. I think we need to send out a better message to the market. I take responsibility for everything in my life. So I'm not going to blame the consumer. I'm going to blame us. And maybe that means raising the bar more for getting into the industry. Maybe that means certain designations that can separate you easily, you know, not the CRS and da, 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 and these other things. But maybe there's something else we can do to say, hey, we've done X amount, but I still don't know if that's going to do it. So it's a great question.
You know, that worked in the pre-internet world.
Yeah.
You know, before we had apps and voting by acclamation, which is one thing that I find to be interesting. A realtor says, I'm looking for an amazing realtor in the Bay Area to serve my clients. Well, they've heard of somebody and they start naming people, but you don't know their level of competence or expertise or even their likability to the end consumer. But once upon a time, and I still get my CRS print directory, but that still doesn't tell me the full picture.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a multifaceted answer to that, but it's going to have to be answered for at some point because it drives me crazy how many realtors don't take this seriously. Well, and it's one thing to make your way through a crazy situation because that's what differentiates a professional who figures out what I can and can't do in this scenario. How do I find a solution that suits people? But something else entirely to realize that there's people out there that wouldn't take it seriously.
Well, not just that, but I mean, that's merging into the other thing that we bring up a lot, you and I, which is integrity. Right. So as I said, my mentor said, never make this about your commission check. So my clients say all the time, oh, I'm so sorry we lost that deal. And I'm like, why are you saying sorry to me? Like, I have nothing to do with this. I'm just here as your counsel, as your fiduciary on the ride to your home ownership or your home sale. Right. And so I think that's another big thing is how do we separate that? Right. Because there's such a conflict of interest of when you buy a house, I get paid. So why wouldn't you root on every house? Why wouldn't you say, hey, you should buy every house, right? Because you just want to get paid. So I think there's a interesting dynamic there that I don't know if there needs to be a shift or a change, but if I knew everyone thought like me, there'd be no problem. But people in the industry are desperate to get paid at some points, and that's scary for the consumer.
And that's interesting because they don't know, you would have no way of knowing if you have encountered a realtor who could walk you back from a bad transaction until you're in the middle of it.
Yep.
And by that point, how many people are like, you know what, I'm already this deep in, I'll suck it up. And I don't know why we don't even suck it up for our cell phone service. We call Verizon, scream at them and change to T-Mobile, then scream at them and change to AT&T. People get with a realtor who's not listening and not serving their best interest. And they're like, I'll just tough it out. It's so wild. But I think this goes back to what you said before. It's that likability factor. We don't have any relationship with our cell phone provider. So we don't feel obligated to tough it out.
If you're a consumer, your realtor should be almost the devil's advocate, right? They should be look, you can see the beautiful countertops, the cabinets, the backyard, the cherry tree. I'm going to tell you about why this may not hold the valuation, what's going on long-term. That's what we should be, the lawyer. We should be the counsel.
But we're not lawyers sometimes, so don't play lawyer if you're not one, just saying.
I'm not a lawyer. but I am a fiduciary. And a lot of the times that much. Well,
and how many agents can define what a fiduciary is after they got their license? Do they forget it?
I don't know. Most?
Do you think most can?
I feel like it, right?
You are so optimistic and hopeful about humanity. I love that about you.
I'm 30.
You should totally ask this question out loud. Define fiduciary.
So fiduciary for me is I'm the financial counsel to my client, right? So I'm responsible for their purchase or their sale, and I'll be protecting their asset. And that's how I look at it. I don't know if that's the exact definition, but
well, the more exact definition, because I'm the nerd friend here, is we owe that client the duties of skill, care, and diligence.
Yeah.
And that does translate into the fact that this is their largest financial instrument. So we are supposed to be honest guides in that process, but that's skill, the extra education, care, paying attention, and diligence is making sure we share everything we've gathered along the way. And I don't know that many out there have focused on that. They might have remember it in the cobwebs of their brain.
Yeah.
And kind of think about it sometimes, but maybe that's what needs to come back to the forefront. If more real estate agents and realtors knew that that's what it meant, that the consumer might know that's what it means to hire one.
Well, I'll tell you what's even more scary is our market is a non-contingent market. Easily 95% of our deals are completely non-contingent. So who are you relying on in that 48 window where you literally get a disclosure package with inspections, disclosures, everything on the dot? You have 48 hours or less sometimes to review them and make an educated decision if this is the right buy for you. So then
you're in California, your disclosures are like 150 pages. It's too much for a normal person to look at.
It's a lot, but then you double it down with the fact that you may have some shady realtors, right? So then like, do they skip that one page on the inspection where it talks about the foundation crack? Do they, you know, push the buyers forward and say, hey, no big deal, my guy can get that done for 20 grand, right? It's a scary thing. And I can't imagine someone not having someone like me on their side. And I'm not preaching me. I'm just preaching the mindset that we have. Yeah.
Any realtor who is focused on it, that's what you meant. You and the other focused realtors.
Yeah. But truthfully, it's scary in our market.
So that's one of the crazy things. Let's land on that for just a quick second, because as we record this in February of 2021, so if you listen to this a year from now and you're like, oh, that's so quaint. In February of 2021, multiple offers, buyers waiving contingencies against appraisal, survey, inspections. As a realtor who is focused on the fiduciary responsibilities, the skill, care, and diligence, loyalty, obedience, the best interest of your clients, how in the world do you adequately advise somebody to waive all of their protections on their largest financial instrument? What is your best advice to somebody who's maybe of the personality set that they are spreadsheet driven, they're engineers and accountants, and they've got their whole list of questions and they don't even get the opportunity to get them answered because of the current situation in the market? It's wild.
Number one, we deal in a higher end market. So we're dealing with jumbo loans. We're dealing with high net worth clients. So the loan side is pretty easy, right? We talk to our loan officer and I make it come from them, not from me. So I say, hey, loan officer, we need assurance that we can waive this. We're relying on you and your expert advice if we can waive this contingency. They give us the green light there. Then we run comparables. We run a market report and I say, look, it's my job to help counsel you on the appraisal side. And if I think we're going to make this work, and then if I don't think it's going to work, I say, look, I think it could appraise as low as X. You know, are you willing to come out of pocket Y to make this deal work? And do you have the cash to do it? And then I break down what that means, right? This is what the loan would look like. And then we get the green light on that. The next thing, which is the most important, is that inspection contingency. I shot a video of this on my Instagram saying, I would rather you walk from the deal than waive your contingency with some sort of doubt, right? And so that's the big gap. If we have vague inspections, if we have an outlying thing in that inspections that's making us a little sick, and we don't have time to do the diligence, I would rather us walk than wing it. And then, of course, the second to last thing, which kind of combines, is if you're looking to do work on the home and you changing something about the home is a deal breaker. So say it's a 3, 2.5, but you want a third full bath. If that's a deal breaker, then we got to figure out how it's going to happen, how long it's going to take, how much it's going to cost you, what's going on at the city with permitting, right? We have to figure all those things out too. And if we can't figure those things out and it's a deal breaker, once again, we walk, right? Because if for some reason we can't expand the house or we can't get that done or something like that, who are they going to blame, right?
Everybody. They're going to blame everybody.
They're going to blame everybody, but it's mostly coming back on me. And so I would just prefer us to walk. So that's how I deal with it.
And guys, you have to be prepared for this because markets change. And we had just as bad conditions in the Great Recession, but then we had no buyers and every seller was fighting to get a buyer on the hook. So we had a whole different set of concessions and situations going on because markets are fluid. But this is one of the reasons that you do have to go into any real estate opportunity with the mindset of, I can walk away from this, so that you don't wind up in a really bad situation down the road, because houses are built by humans. And I should remind y'all as well that a new house does not preclude it from having inspection situations or CO violations, permit violations, all kinds of random wild things, because that's the best part about houses. So Danny, if you had to leave one bit of advice for the listeners, and let's say it's for the listener who's trying to decide if they should sell right now in your market, and somebody says, I don't know if I want to sell right now or not because it's just too wild out there. What would you tell that one seller? What's the Danny advice?
Wow. Number one, I always reach back to my great grandmother. She's Italian. She helped raise me until I was about 6 years old. And she left me with a ton of sayings, and Lee loves her sayings. But she would say, you know, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And the market is blazing hot right now. I told my best friend this the other day. He has two kids. And I said, Johnny, you should get your house on the market yesterday, because we just don't know what the next 6 months holds. Do the projections say we're going up? Absolutely. Do most of my real estate colleagues say that the market's going to continue to be strong over the next 12 months? Yes, they do. Nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. Nobody holds a crystal ball. Nobody knows where the stock market's going, right? So your house is worth probably max value all time history stuff here in most markets across the country if you just look at the data. Are you willing to risk another 5% jump versus a 30 to 40% plummet, worst case scenario, right? And so in my market, some of the markets went down 50% in 08. And I'm not trying to fearmonger at all here. I'm just saying weigh your risks, right? So you're risking 5% gain or maybe even 10% over the years, year lengths, maybe in crazier markets more, versus a tremendous loss. So for me, I'm just a poker player. So I'm weighing the risks, right, versus the reward. I would rather cash out now and move on. So that's my tip. And if you're more risk averse, then that's your call, but at least you're educated on it.
Exactly, because we don't know when ups happen and when downs happen, because all of us that were in during the Great Recession really wished we'd known a month before the phone stopped ringing that everything was about to come tumbling down. And I'll point out there's one more perk to the home seller who has little people in the house. Right now, with the market being so hot, there are so many houses that sell before they ever even enter the showing phase that if you have little people that are undoing all of your hard work and strewing toys all over the place, and especially if you have little boys who can't hit the toilet and they pee all over the bathroom, now's a really great time to sell because you don't have to be perfectly perfect for months on end, which is what we have in a normal market. So there's lots of ancillary benefits besides the money if it makes sense for you to sell right now. So Danny, if anybody's looking for an amazing realtor in the Bay Area of California and looking for a realtor with whom they could mastermind and make connection over time, what's the best way for them to find you?
Well, I enjoy my Instagram account. It shows the raw side of who I am. I'm kind of crazy. So I would love you to follow me at travel_real_estate_magnet at Instagram. And of course, you can always get me on my direct cell phone number, 650-665-0922. Here to support you guys as new agents, as well as buyers and sellers, of course. But can't say enough about Lee Brown, what a wonderful lady she is. And I'm blessed to have met you over the last few weeks. So it's been fun. It's been a great journey.
I know, and I look forward to more conversations in the future about real estate and how we get to make things better and supporting you in your run journey because y'all need to start running again. So, yay.
Day 14.
What was that?
Day 14.
Day 14 of the getting the 240 miles, right?
That's right. Hey, I can't believe you're running. And this is a side conversation. We'll talk about it later. But yeah,
everybody should exercise. We should totally wrap that into crazy shit in real estate. Because if you want to know why we don't lose our minds, for many of us, our coping mechanism, my coping mechanism is running.
Running really far. Yeah.
It's how we roll. So for all of you that were wanting to connect with Danny, don't be stressing out that you didn't write down a cell phone number. Everything's in the show notes for this episode, including social handles, his website and all the fun stuff. So you just go click and connect. And then you have to follow up with me and tell me how amazing your experience was with him as a buyer or seller, because I like to know that I've told you about decent people over here. It's a very important part of the podcast. And also important, click subscribe, give me 5 stars, because less than 5 stars and I'll totally take it personally. So make sure you hit that button so we can see you next time.
Thanks, Lee. You were awesome. I appreciate you.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.